Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1200. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, SiriusXM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Radio Plus app at Bloomberg.com. This is Bloomberg Surveillance.
Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow, along with Tom Keene and Barry Ritholtz. And the opening bell brought to you by SEI. Imagine when investment operations predictably respond to regulatory change. COSEI's global operating platform can be your catalyst for business transformation at SEIC.com/imagine. Stocks higher at the open. S&P 500 up 0.4% or 7 points to 2062. Dow Jones Industrial Average up 0.3% or 65 points to 17,698. NASDAQ's up 0.6% or 27 points to 4874. 10-year Treasury down 9/32. The yield 1.83%. Yield on the 2-year 0.79%. NYMEX crude oil up 2.7% or $1.06 to $39.34 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.2% or $2.10 to $12.35.40 an ounce. The euro, $1.1313. The yen's 112.66. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Tom and Barry.
Now, Karen, thanks so much. Richard Cherno is with BlackRock. He's got a fancy title, Global Chief Investment Strategist, out of Cambridge, and with a tour duty at the Bank of England, which means he learned, he was trained, he had lunches as bad as lunch yesterday at the Economic Club of New York. The rubber chicken was off the chart. And Mr. Turnell, the conversation was not like the lunch. It was blinding to hear Chair Yellen in her dovishness. Was she ripping out a page from Governor Carney of central banks that are boxed in?
So, first of all, good morning. Look, I think what you're seeing is definitely a change in tone coming out of the Fed, and really following a change in tone we've seen from not just Governor Carney, but actually I think across the world, the ECB and the Bank of Japan all signaling easier policy going forward. I think we're just in an environment where there's such uncertainty out there that the Fed's prepared to tolerate the risk of higher inflation, at least in the short run, given the potential risk to the downside to the economy. So I think we're just going to be in an environment now where policy is going to be looser globally for some time than we all thought just a few weeks ago.
And then you brilliantly highlight in your note what everyone's noticed, and we thank Dean Kernan for his view this morning. It's too quiet out there. T-O-O, quiet. How do we respond to the too quiet?
So it's too quiet, particularly in equity markets. And, you know, the VIX has collapsed right back down below 14 again this morning. It's at a level we haven't seen since last summer. You know, we still think that equity is the right place to be for most clients, but volatility is very unlikely to stay at these levels for a long period of time, partly because it's just so unusually low. And also, you're not seeing the same confirmation signals from fixed income or currency where volatility is actually much higher. So, you know, our recommendation to clients would be that you should be taking advantage of these very low levels of volatility to put some hedges in your portfolio. This, you know, we think this is a good time to be in risk assets, but there are definitely risks out there. There are risks around China, risks around politics, both in the U.S. and here in Europe, and increasingly, as we just touched on, risks around inflation, where the Fed is prepared to at least tolerate higher inflation in the short run. So now is a good time to be taking advantage of the very low levels of vol, very low levels of VIX, and put a bit of insurance in your portfolio.
Let me push back on the idea that this is such an unusual situation. Didn't we have the VIX in the low teens for years and years and years in the 1990s, in a period where markets clearly a different environment than today? But it's hard to say that we've never really experienced anything like this, isn't it?
Well, what you've never seen before was such a prolonged period of low vol. So we saw 3 consecutive years of the VIX, not just in the low teens, in the low teens from 2012 through to 2014. We've looked back at our data over all history, and never in history have we seen a sustained period of volatility this low before. So you're right, there have been certainly periods of low volatility in the past, often associated with easier monetary policy, but we have never seen a prolonged period of very low vol like the one we saw through 2012 to 2014. So yeah, I think it's very dangerous to assume that's the norm and that's what we're going back to. Now, what our analysis suggests that actually it was quantitative easing, which really drove volatility to those extraordinary low levels. You know, with the Fed now having exited QE, I think it's much more likely you're going to see these periodic spikes in vol going forward. And actually, you know, what we've seen the last few months, I suspect it's going to become a much more commonplace experience. We get these, you know, short-term rises in vol followed by easing back. So I think it's been a very unusual environment.
So let me channel the message of the market and create the counter narrative, which is the fall in volatility is saying, hey, the Fed is right. There is no real threat from inflation, at least not anytime soon. And while everybody's all upset about the Sturm und Drang about the politics, even if Bernie Sanders or Donald Trump takes the White House, what are they going to be able to accomplish through Congress? Can we read the low vol as saying, hey, maybe things aren't as terrible as everybody thinks?
Yeah, I'd actually point to some other things as well as those as driving that volatility decline. If you go back to January, people were very worried about oil and what that meant for the economy. You know, those concerns have dissipated. They were very worried about further China devaluation after the move in the currency early in January.
Right.
Those concerns have dissipated, and there was even concerns about another European banking crisis, particularly after the Deutsche Bank news. And again, those concerns have dissipated because actually European banks are still able to access credit. So you've had a lot of kind of bad things just not happening, I would say. So part of the news is like there's a lot of concerns out there which have just not played out, and that's allowed volatility to fall. But when I look forward, it's not hard to come up with a list of potential things to worry about. And again, just go back to how unusual this level of volatility is. I think it's, you know, when vol is low, this is the time to think about buying that protection.
Who's the horse and who's the cart? I'm going to say vol and the markets are out front of the economics, which suggests dampened global GDP, which folds right into the revenue stream of all the corporations we talk about. And the bottom line is the dampened vol is getting out front of a new terminal value for revenue growth. I mean, what is your model for revenue growth?
So we think we're in a very low growth environment for some time, and actually, you know, that low growth environment should be one actually in which risk assets can do reasonably well. We're in a sweet spot right now where takes us back to what we saw, something that in the 90s, you talked about in the 90s earlier in terms of low vol. We're in this sweet spot, back then it was called Goldilocks, where growth is looking sufficiently strong that people are less worried about deflation, but it's not so strong as to put the Fed back in play with Yellen's comments in the last few days reinforcing that. So you're in this sweet spot that's helping facilitate this low vol, but there are real risks on both sides. There's risk that, you know, that we have an external shock which drives us into a weaker growth environment. We can talk about some of those risks, particularly around, Europe and China devaluation. There are risks on the other side, which actually you start to see inflation pick up. That's a risk which people really weren't even considering just a few months ago, but actually some of the data, particularly in the U.S., is coming through suggesting that. So, again, I think it's just dangerous to assume that vol just stays at these levels for a long time.
Richard, thank you so much. Richard Turnell with BlackRock in London. Look forward to speaking to you, particularly as we migrate over to London in the coming weeks. Again, Richard Turnell, Global Chief Investment Strategist, BlackRock. The market up 122. I don't know if Barry, where's the record Dow? Is it like 18,300?
Yeah, we're still
we're
good
ways.
500 points away.
Yeah.
We're about 3.7% away from all-time highs.
Okay, so we're not on the high watch yet. We're not on the record watch, but we're getting there at some point.
Soon.
The VIX, 13.61. Richard Turnell talking about a VIX under 14 is being remarkable. The yield, two-year yield, 0.79, make it 0.80%, and the 10-year, 1.84%. There's a 30-year bond, 2.64. These are wow yields. After Janet Yellen speaks. In this hour of Bloomberg Surveillance, brought to you by Mazda White Plains. Visit MazdaWhitePlains.com. With our news, Michael Barr.
Tom, Barry, thank you very much. Brussels main airport will remain closed today as temporary repair work continues. Last week, a suicide bomber destroyed the check-in area. The temporary system, when it begins, will be able to process 800 passengers an hour. The normal is 5,000 per hour. It looks like a Republican pledge is falling apart. The three Republican presidential candidates have pulled back on supporting whoever the party chooses as its nominee. At a town hall meeting last night, front runner Donald Trump said he's rescinding his promise to support the nominee because he's been treated badly. Ted Cruz says having a Trump nomination would be a train wreck. Trump later spoke to ABC this morning.
I'll make a decision if I don't get it, which I think I will. And as far as his support of me, I don't care if he supports me.
John Kasich says he wants to see how this all folds out before the nomination. Mourners will pay their final respects today to ex-Toronto Mayor Rob Ford. Ford died last week at age 46. Global News, 24 hours a day, powered by our 2,400 journalists in more than 150 news bureaus from around the world. I'm Michael Barr. Barry, Tom?
And Michael, thanks so much. Coming up, we are going to consider the ultimate all-in-one mascara, matte lipstick. I mean, I'm all over that. I mean, you know, you got to look for your new Revlon matte balm. Matte balm. I don't know what that costs. Next, Ron Perlman and his Revlon, Bloomberg Surveillance.
Surveillance brought to you by CIT. From transportation to healthcare to manufacturing, CIT offers commercial lending, leasing, treasury management services for small and middle market businesses. Learn more at CIT.com. Put knowledge to work.